Thank you, Brother James. We'd like to take the opportunity and say hello to everyone. It has been a little while since I got to see everyone, and I do miss y'all, but what a blessing that y'all have been to me in my life, and the Lord has been blessing us at Bethlehem, and I feel like I just think about all the love that's come out of Union Church so many times, the ministers that have been brought up there and continue to preach the word, and you know, sometimes we have to get up out of our father's country and go to where the Lord wants us to. And I feel like he's blessed us, and I trust he's continuing to bless Union Church. And y'all are always in my thoughts and in my prayers. And, you know, hearing some of the troubles that some of my brothers and sisters are going through, my heart longs for a better day. When we won't have to face these things anymore. You know, cancer is a dirty word. And to me, I've about had my fill of it. But thanks be to God. That there's coming a day when we will have our fill of it. We won't have to deal with that anymore. And with those thoughts in mind, I feel like the Lord's already in the matter with what I have on my mind tonight. If you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, we're going to start in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to back up. I'm going to be mostly in chapter 5, but I want to back up a little bit into chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, that's comforting thought to me tonight, when I think about the ailments of our natural bodies, the things we have to go through while we live down here, that one day when we lay low in the ground, there's coming a day when our Lord and Savior is going to come back and take us home. And these corruptible bodies that we groan within, they'll be raised incorruptible. And the old veil of sin and sorrow will be over, and the sickness and the illness that we face so often will be wiped away, and we'll forever be with the Lord. You know, on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week, that's a good thing to be reminded of. And I think that's what Paul is trying to tell here, the church of Corinth, as he says these things. He says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, knowing, brethren, that there's the resurrection coming, that these things, all the things that the apostles faced, preaching the resurrection of Christ, the abundant grace that had been bestowed upon them, and the thanksgiving of that grace and that resurrection that we'll see one day of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. I tell you what, that's a cause that gives me renewed energy every day when I think about what our Lord has done for us, and that this isn't all there is, that this old world of sin and sorrow, one day that we'll be out of this and we won't have to deal with these things anymore, for which cause we faint not. I tell you what, that gives me some strength and some comfort knowing these things to raise our spirits. But though our outward man perish, oh, how many times our outward man, this old body of flesh that we have, we tire, we get weary with all the things that we face so many times. But through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the pronouncement of his gospel that brings immortality to light through the gospel and renews our spirit, it's like the inward man is renewed day by day. And then verse 17, it says, for our light affliction, when we consider the things we go through, you know, here the Apostle Paul calls them a light affliction. You know, of anybody that was outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the apostles were persecuted and beaten and tortured. And when we see that Paul says that this is a light affliction, you know, that puts into perspective sometimes, you know, sometimes the afflictions we face don't seem too light. But he makes a comparison here. Compare to what? He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our life is just a vapor. The bad things we face sometimes, they're not going to last forever. Our Lord loves us. He's died for us, and he's coming back for us. But he says, which is for a moment. But these afflictions, it says, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The little bit of light afflictions that we face sometimes, that when we face these things, doesn't it just make that promise of eternal life that our Lord and Savior has obtained for us, doesn't it make it heavier? You know, I remember back in, most of us here probably remember the 80s, maybe my generation, but, you know, used to, they'd say if something was heavy, it was deep. You know, when I think about the eternal weight of glory, I tell you what, it's heavy and it's deep. And the more I face in this world, the more that weight, and in a good way, it weighs heavier on my mind when I go through the light afflictions that we have and we see. But how much better it's going to be one day. It means more to me as I grow older, how much heavier that weight of eternal glory comes. But here's what happens most times in life. It says, we are always here in verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, a lot of times in life, it's just easier to see what's in front of our eyes than to see with the eye of faith sometimes. Sometimes we're weak in faith and we don't see that good to those eternal things. And we're presented with what's right in front of our eyes. And we see all the cancer and the sickness and the pain that God's children have to go through and the persecution they have to go through and while they live down here. But when we do those things, when we see these temporal things around, I tell you, we're to look on the things which are not seen. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're trying to take a little time and look on those things that are not seen. In chapter 5, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about this body, this earthly tabernacle that God has put us here in, that he's created us, this natural body. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, though this body, and this is what I'm encouraged by this morning when I hear, you know, my wife's grandmother, it seems like the last month or so, we can't figure out what's wrong with her. And she's went from driving herself around to we're having to carry her to bed. And I see how frail this old natural body gets. You know, if I thought that was it for my groan, oh, I'd be of all men most miserable. But knowing that even if this tabernacle, this earthly tabernacle dissolved, I'm thankful that we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Oh, I tell you, I groan for that day when we'll be clothed with that eternal body, that body that we have, that building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It says in verse 2, it says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be cleaved upon with our house, which is from heaven. I tell you, the more pain and sorrow that I see God's children go through, the more I groan for those things, for that body, where I won't have to see God's children anymore suffer. And then he says in verse 3, he says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For that we are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I'm looking forward to that day when this mortal body puts on immortality, and that this veil of sin that we live in will be swallowed up of life, and we don't have to face the parting days anymore, seeing our precious loved ones suffer. In verse 5, it says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, I always like that earnest, just like earnest money. That's that money you have that you put up before you receive the whole allotment. That Spirit that he's given us is a little piece of what we'll have in heaven. He's given us that earnest. It's something we can count on, that we have the down payment of, that God has given us. And the same God that has given us that is the same God that will raise us up, just like he did his son. If Christ be raised, we'll be raised too, and we'll live one day. And the one that has done that and wrought us for the self same thing as God. That had nothing to do with us. That is a work of God. He's the one that's going to do it. He's the one that sent his son to die for us. He's the one that paid the price and redeemed us. He's the one that'll raise us up. And he's wrought us for the same thing, the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident. You know, if it was something that me and you did, how much confidence would you have in that? If there was something we had to do to secure eternal life, and that's, don't get me wrong, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? It's eternal life. He has wrought us to eternal life. He says that I wouldn't have much confidence if it was up to me, but he says, therefore, we are always confident. I can be confident that God has wrought this. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we have to walk by faith right now. We can't. And the way we see these things right now is faith. We haven't seen them with our natural sight. But here we are at home in the body. We are absent from the Lord. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet still we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know any child of God that isn't ready to be, that doesn't long for that day, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. There's a confidence in that, knowing that this is a certainty. That when we leave this old veil of sin and flesh, there's a part of us that goes straight to the Lord and is ultimately present with him in a moment, in a twinkling of eye. You know, my Uncle Wayne always said, you know, they asked him, how far is heaven? And he would always say, I know it's less than a day's journey. Because he told that thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There's no in-between place. When we leave this old body, I tell you what, our spirit and soul return to the Lord forever to be with him, waiting for that day when body and soul will be reunited at the second coming of our Lord and Savior. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul had been through so much. I tell you what, I think he was ready. He was looking forward to that day when he would be absent from this body and present with the Lord. You know, that's something to look forward to. But even though we look forward to that, you know, God, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait around for that day to enjoy some of the salvation that he has for us. Paul goes on to even say, even though I'm looking forward to that day, in verse 9, he says, wherefore we labor. Now, here's a little change here. I tell you, through the first few verses of this, we're talking about that eternal body being clothed with that tabernacle, not made with hands in the heavens. The thing that God has done, the thing we have confidence in, that is going to happen one day as Christ died. So we died with him. When he is risen, we will rise with him one day. But he says here, wherefore we labor. Wherefore? Because of all the things that have gone before, this is why I labor while I'm here. See, he would rather be gone and be present with the Lord, but he's still present here. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, hold on, Brother Joe. Why would we labor to be accepted of him? You just told us that it was all of God, that it was his work, that he had wrought us for this self-same purpose. How many times people come down to this verse and then everything that God had just done for us and assured us of that we could have confidence in, then they take these verses and they try to make it dependent on something and you got to obtain those eternal blessings that God has for us. But what Paul is saying here is not, he doesn't do these things. He doesn't labor in order to get those things. But because he has those things, this is why he labors. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, I tell you, there's only one way we've been accepted in the beloved, and that's according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And he has made us accepted in the beloved over there in Ephesians 1 by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the price he paid and redeemed us with on the cross of Calvary. That's not what he's saying here that he's working towards. He says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. My question here, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what body is he talking about here? Are we going to receive in our bodies? Once we get to heaven in immortal glory, I tell you what, we're not going to receive anything good or bad. We have already received it. The price has been paid. When we talk about being accepted in the beloved, when we're talking about the judgment on God's people, I tell you what, that judgment was poured out on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we were redeemed forever. But here it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In verse 11, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul's talking about him, his fellow ministers here. He says, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. When we go back up here to the verse and it says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I tell you, that labor that he's talking about, that we may be accepted of him, is not talking about the labor for eternal life. But as I said before, it's like because of all the things God has done for us and has promised us and has laid up for us a tabernacle not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This makes him, he says, this is the reason why I labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You know, and I think, and it says here that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When I think about the judgments of God, you know, there's all kinds of judgments of God. That eternal judgment has been taken care of by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's born of the Spirit. He's adopted. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We are his children. And I tell you what, just as my children are subject to my judgments as their father, I tell you, we're subject to the judgments of our father. He says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, being that we have been born again, we are his children. I tell you what, that Paul's saying here that, you know, once we're in heaven, we are accepted of him through the precious blood of Christ. But I tell you what, I want to be acceptable here while I live. And that's why we labor. I want to please my father. It has nothing to do with my eternal life, but it has everything to do with the life that I now live. He goes on to say, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Where are we going to reap where we sow? I tell you what, brethren, when we do good here on this life, I tell you what, our Father is pleased when we do righteousness and do the things. And when we're bad, you know what? He takes care of that too. He says, every son I have, I chastises. I tell you what, and it's a wonderful thing to understand that it's wonderful. We should rejoice when being chastised because he dealeth with his sons and not bastards. But he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, Paul knew that God is our Father and he chastises every son. And I don't know any minister that enjoys watching God's children get a whipping. Paul says, here we persuade men. What are we doing with the gospel when we preach to you? We're trying to tell you to walk in the ways God would have you walk because we don't see you. We don't want to see you pay for the wrong things that you do because you don't pay for them while you live. When we do bad, we get punished for it while we're here. As a father deals with his children, God deals with us. And I tell you what, as watchmen, as ministers, I tell you every Sunday, I'm trying to persuade men to please their father because I don't want to see them get any whippings. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see children of God make shipwreck. But even if we don't persuade men, even if they don't heed our call, he says, but we are made manifest unto God. Now, I could be wrong about this, but my opinion here is like even when we don't persuade men, even when they don't listen to our warnings, and when we're sounding the trumpet as good watchmen on the tower, it's still manifest to God. You know, I remember back there in the Old Testament, talks about the watchman, and it says, you know, if the watchman soundeth not the call, then the blood be on his hands. But if they don't listen to the call, if the children of Israel didn't listen to that call, then the blood be upon their hands. I tell you what, I'll continue to sound the call and warn God's children how he would have them live their lives, because I don't want to see them make shipwreck. But whether they do or not, I tell you what, that's manifest unto God. But I trust, he says, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You know, I believe when I preach to some folks and some folks here on tonight, that I believe what we say, if God blesses it, that it is, I trust that it's being made manifest and being revealed in your conscience too. And isn't it wonderful to know that? That because of all the things God has done to us, because of the eternal life that he's given us, the body, that tabernacle, that house that not made with hands, eternal in the heavens that he's prepared for us, all the things that he's done for us. I tell you what, that's somebody I want to be laboring for. That's somebody that's a God that I want to please, that we might be acceptable. The things we do on this life, I want it to be acceptable to God. In verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. See, that's a lot of things that go on in the world today, doesn't it? Everybody thinks they're their own. This Bible tells me you are not your own. He said, and because you are not your own, but you're paid, you're bought with a price. You're the purchased possession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth. If God has called you from death unto life and given you life and given you eternal life, why would you want to go back and live the way that you were before he called you from death unto life? Henceforth, hereafter, he says, henceforth live unto themselves, but unto them which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. You know, when we think about what I'm thinking about here in verse 16, it says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You know, how you think about yourself, child of God, has a lot to do with your perspective in this life. See, when we talk about, we start looking around and looking at the things that are temporal, we come to think that that's who we are. You know, I've made this point the last weekend. You know, I stole it from somebody else, I think. I can't remember who it was. But they were talking about, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, sometimes they have trouble with addiction and alcohol and things like that. You know, they have those AA programs that, you know, the first thing you stand up and say is, hey, your name, whatever it is, and I'm an alcoholic. And that's how they identify. But child of God, there's some things and some thorns in the flesh that we all have. But that's not how you to identify yourself. Don't you ever forget who you are. Paul says here, for wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Now, he's not talking about just any man, but he's talking about those he's talking about here, too. He says, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, child of God, so many times we let the things of this life dictate and identify who we are, the problems, the sins that so easily beset us. But who you are is a child of God. You have been made a new creature. A lot of times when we look at this old temporal body and the things that fail us, you know, we think that's who we are and we get discouraged. But I want you to understand something. That body that we have, eternal in the heavens, I want you to look at it like this. You're already in it. Well, what you mean, Brother Joe? You already there. Why do you say that, Brother Joe? Because that's how God sees you. Over in Romans 8, He says, for him he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And then he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he predestinated, let me get that right, with that ED on the end. Them he called. And them he called, he justified. And then what them he justified, he glorified. You see, in the eyes of God, you're already there with him in heaven. And we're there in heaven because we dwell in Jesus and Jesus dwells in us. And as he was raised, so will we be raised. And I love that moment when I understood that God isn't bound by time, and that when he speaks and those things that he speaks and those things that he purposed, they're as good as done. I love that verse over in Romans, I think it's 4:17 or somewhere there, where it says that we serve a God that speaks those things that be not as though they were. Child of God, we fall short of the glory of God so many times. But thanks be to God that he's put that spirit within us, that one day we'll be raised incorruptible. And I tell you what, that's how we ought to see ourselves. And if that's how we see ourselves, that we're going today, we're going to be raised because of what Jesus Christ has done without spot and without blemish. I tell you what's as good as time in any day to start walking like who you are. I know we often get all set size of sin that so easily besets us in here, but that sin has no more penalty anymore. We ought to be striving. Just like Paul says here, we ought to be laboring because of everything he does for us. Because in his mind, in God's mind, and because what Jesus Christ has done, we're already been glorified. That means past tense. It's as good as done. You have that. You have that. No man can take it away from you. And that's how we're to see ourselves. Yea, though sometimes these old frail bodies get frail on us and we have to see our loved ones suffer. There's coming a day, just like the old seed, that seed of Jesus that he has in us, that incorruptible seed that he's put in us. One day it'll be put in the ground. But I tell you what, it'll be raised incorruptible. And one day we'll all be there with him again in that glorified state. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be absent from this old body and present with the Lord. And what a family reunion it'll be. You know, I've missed so many that have gone on before. But when I think about it, you know, it's like that old country song that says, we're already there. I tell you what, I'm already there. That's not because I said it. I believe that's because how God feels about it. He sees it. I believe he sees the whole family of God. And they're as good as there because he's declared it. If God says we're going to be there, we're going to be there. And you know what? He sees it. I believe he experiences. But you know what? We're just waiting for the day when we manifest. And I'm looking forward to that day. And can't we joy in it that this is not how we're to identify ourselves, by this old body, but of that incorruptible body. I thank you for your good attention. I hope some of these things have meant something to you. And I sure do love y'all. And I know that might have been a little short, but that's all the Lord's got for me tonight. All right.